Have you ever wondered how to empower your child to overcome speech challenges and build an unshakable confidence? In this episode, as I chat with the amazing Raja Vadaya about his personal journey through fluency issues and stuttering, Raja shares his childhood story and the advice he wishes his parents had given him during those challenging times. He opens up about the impact of supportive words and the assurance that kids dealing with speech issues are not alone. As a dedicated parent himself, Raja also discusses how he encourages his own children, including his son on the autism spectrum, and his daughter, too, as they overcome confidence issues. Join us for this thought-provoking episode as we explore the keys to decoding our kids' behavior, promoting clear communication, and cultivating strong relationships. Does your child have a speech-language delay and you really want them to talk? Do difficult behaviors derail home life and you know the frustration is a communication struggle? Does your child see a speech therapist and you wonder, what do they do and how can I help? If these or similar questions are in your mind, this podcast is for you. Hello, my name is Dina Lynn Rosenbusch. I am a speech-language pathologist that has worked with children from birth to 21 for 3 decades. And in my classrooms, I see you wanting to connect with the heart of your child, but their speech and language skills create a barrier. So if you have a kiddo that has difficult behaviors, needs to expand their language or learn to say speech sounds, and maybe even receives speech therapy? Stay tuned, because in this podcast, you will learn how to use your daily life as a tool to communication practice and how to do that practice. You will become confident knowing you are making the difference you want to make. And you will hear success stories of parents who have navigated these struggles already. We'll do this all while focusing on building deep, meaningful connection and confidence in your kiddo. So grab a cup of coffee along with a notebook and pen. It's time to speak in the way your child's brain understands, and that is the language of play. Hey, listeners. During my years working as a speech-language pathologist, one of the common questions parents would ask me is, how do I get my kids to listen better? And out of that, I made this workshop that is coming up on May 13th. So mark your calendars, even when you have a speech and language delay. In fact, even more so when you have a speech and language delay. Some of the issues that you have are going to be, how well does your child pay attention? How well does your child listen to you? Listening is a skill. It is not something that they are just born knowing how to do. So as we get good at teaching them how to listen as parents, then we also get better at knowing how it is we can teach them speech sounds, vocabulary, and extending their sentences. So parents, I want you to put on your calendar May 13th from 10 to 11:30 Central Time. We're going to have a workshop-style parenting class helping you to get your kid to listen better. And of course, that will mean getting you also to know how to hear what they're not saying and help them be able to say better what they're trying to say. Please look in the show notes for the link to sign up for this workshop. The link I made was broken, so by the time you hear this, I'm sure that that link will be working. And if it isn't, it will be working very soon. All right, let's get into today's show with Raja. Hello, Raja. Thank you for being here on The Language of Play. Hello, listeners. I'm so glad that you're here to hear a journey of Raja. He has a speech and language journey. So this is near and dear to the heart of many of you that are dealing with kiddos that are learning speech and language a little differently than the norm. Raja, would you tell us a little about yourself before you tell us your journey?
I'm a cancer scientist. I'm a 6-degree martial arts master, and I'm a classically trained opera singer. as well as an online coach and a keynote speaker.
You do a lot of things.
I do a lot of things. I wear a lot of hats.
Yes. And that's how we met at one of those things.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Raja, you have dealt with fluency issues, stuttering, and you have a story from childhood, and yet you are a success story. Here you are being a public speaker. So you've had your journey to get to that confidence. We can get to the confidence part later on. But first, would you rewind your mind back and imagine that you are talking to a parent who has an 8-year-old, for example, and he's stuttering and he didn't outgrow it. And the parents are concerned, scared, wondering what to do. Can you rewind back to that time and talk to the parents?
Absolutely. So parents, here's one thing I wish my parents said to me. You know what, Raja? It doesn't matter. You're so good at so many other things. No one's going to really notice it much. And those that do, don't worry about them. You'll make so many more friends. And you are not alone. Did you know that 1 out of 10 people has some sort of a speech disfluency issue? You're in good company. The president of the United States grew up with a speech issue. So guess what? That just proves that it can't stop you. You can get to any tier in any aspect of your life, whether it's sports, music, politics, medical, legal, everything. And I remember being young and thinking, so many things are closed off to me because I can't talk right. I wish someone had told me, you know what? It's not going to matter that much. Because now that I look back and I think, 3 months after my 18th birthday, I made the Olympic team. I took karate because of all the severe bullying that was happening. And at 16 years old, I was a world champion. I took home 2 medals at Worlds. And then when I was 18 years old, 3 months after my 18th birthday, first time competing as an adult, I went to an East Coast qualifier and I beat out 400 other black belts. And while the tournament closed and my parents had to be somewhere else, they never thought karate was a real viable career for me. So I'm standing there in the rain with my grand championship trophies, waiting for my parents to come pick me up and take me home. I told my dad, make sure you bring the station wagon. That 4 gigantic trophies I had to take home. I decided for myself that I wasn't good enough to go out to Colorado and train for 2 years because people would not accept someone like me. What a mistake I made. Because later on in life, guess what? Those kept coming back and I kept limiting myself. And don't let yourself be the limiting force in your life.
Yeah. So even in the presence of proof with those trophies, even holding them, your internal dialogue still spoke louder saying, it's not for you. It's not, you're not enough. You're not good enough. You're not speaking well enough.
That's and the irony, I opened up my own karate school. I was head instructor for my teacher school for 25 years. Then I opened up my own karate school because then I had enough confidence that I could do it. Had I done that when I was younger, I could have been well established. Mm-hmm. But of course, my parents didn't support me in that. They said, no, do something where you can kind of hide. I joined choir, so I didn't have to talk. I joined karate, so I didn't have to talk. I became a cancer research scientist, so I didn't have to talk. So I could hide in the lab and just do data analysis and you know, research and grind out the data, which was great. I helped make drugs that saved millions of lives. But same thing, I was restricting myself. And there's a turn in that eventually, that your kids are going to have to either accept that they're not perfect and that is normal. Because that's one thing I think that people don't realize. Being different is normal. There's no such thing as like fitting in and being exactly like everybody else. No one is. We're all a salad bowl. We're all a little bit different.
A friend of mine says, especially of teenagers, they like to be uniquely different. I mean, I said that right. I said that wrong.
Indeed.
Uniquely the same. That's what I wanted to say.
Uniquely the same.
They want to be uniquely the same. You know, and that would be the case for so many teens. And you didn't fit into the uniquely the same.
Mm-mm, not at all.
And you had some really strong avoidances that led you into your whole careers and stayed with you. Do you think that you would have listened to your parents if they had said those things when you were small, like the examples that you gave? Or do you think that that internal dialogue from other people would have also tied you up?
I think, honestly, I just needed someone to believe in me.
Yeah, there you go.
And I think parents, I say in my coaching academy, don't fake it till you make it, believe it and become it. And you can quote me on that. Because I say that at the end of every single training I do, every single podcast I'm on, and because truly that belief is what starts driving everything. And we say like in karate, you know, every champion is a champion in their own mind first before everybody else realizes it. Muhammad Ali used to say that all the time. I'm the champ. I'm the world champ. He believed it before anybody else did. Mm-hmm. And he made it true. He manifested it. And your children can do the same thing. It's let them believe, because I used to think there was only 10 things I could do and 9,990 that I couldn't do, when actually that was an upside down pyramid. I now realize, you know what? There's of those 10,000 things that I thought I actually can do 9,990. And maybe there's 10 things I might not be able to do, like being a professional auctioneer. Maybe I can't do that if I trip up my words a little bit. No, maybe I don't want to be an air traffic controller. That's okay. All right, there. That's 2 things out of 10,000 I probably don't want to spend too much time on. But there's a whole lot of other great things out there that I can do.
You said something I want to highlight.
Yeah.
You said to the parents, let them believe. And so in that phrase, I think that there's more going on. There's an allowance, one thing, of letting your kids believe that which you don't see and they aren't experiencing yet, but to let them believe. And you explain that. And then, but I think that there's also another part where we as parents, when we see kind of, we think it's reality, right? We want to say, well, that's not realistic for you. And when kiddos have disabilities, whether it's fluency or whether it's something else, I think that we as parents hold back our, well, heck, this is even kids that don't have disabilities.
Yeah.
We hold them back by what we say is realistic for them.
Right. And here's the thing I want to change your perception of. That's based off of your perception filter of what you think is achievable. Elon Musk, love him or hate him, no one believed he could make an electric car that people would actually like. Nobody believed that he could actually make an independent company that could make spacecraft on the way to Mars. That's insane to think about that. But you know what? He believed. And I think that other people told him probably this is impossible. It's not going to happen. It's not going to work. So he invented PayPal so he could fund his future projects. So now when you move forward and think, you know, why was that? See, my parents told me something very similar. I was a really good musician. I went from my junior year of high school, I went to Disacquire senior year, I got into district, regional, first chair, and all state. And when I told them that I wanted to go to the governor's school for music, and I told them I wanted to apply to Oberlin Conservatory or to Juilliard, they said, no, 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 that's nonsense. That's just singing and dancing. I was shut down hard because they believed that was not for me. And parents, I want you to hear the same thing I told my son, and then I caught myself. My son, he said, oh, he likes horror novels. So he wrote his own horror novel when he was 10 years old. He had this short story project, and then instead of writing a page of a short story, he ended up writing a 10-page double-sided short horror novel, and it blew me away. And then he said, you know what, Daddy, maybe I can be an author and I can write horror stories. I was like, no, 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 Evan, you'll never make money on that. And then I caught myself the next day. I'm like, wait, what am I doing? I just decided for him. And I went back to him and said, you know what, Evan, I'm going to tell you what my parents didn't tell me. You can be anything you want and I'll support you, but be the best at what you want and we will support you every step of the way. Since then, he lit up. And my son, he's on the ASD spectrum too. And so he learns a little bit differently. Guess what? When he lights up like that and he gets to do what he wants, there's nothing that can stop him. No, he's already written the first book. He now has plans to make to turn it into 3-book series. And we're going to sell it on the Kindle platform called The Shadows.
And that is so great.
It's amazing. And I'm like, if I had stopped him a couple of years ago from even thinking about that as a possibility, the world would have lost a future Stephen King, right?
Yeah. So Raja, can I highlight this too?
Yeah.
So you're telling me your son is on ASD spectrum. So that's our autism spectrum disorder. Yeah. And even in light of autism, you're allowing him to do the thing that he is interested in, whether it's realistic or not. It doesn't matter if it's realistic. He wants to pursue.
Real to him.
He thinks he can, even if he doesn't think he can. Let's let him go and learn that he can, right?
Yeah.
And so that pours the belief into him, but it also, as parents, helps us get a little bit more belief as well. So that's super cool. And the other thing I hear you talking about is, it reminds me of Henry Ford's quote, whether you think you can or you think you can't, you're right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you for sharing this, both about your son and about you.
Mm-hmm. And I have a daughter too.
Okay.
She's got another story too.
Okay. Go tell. Yeah. Tell your daughter's story.
Guess what? Now, my daughter, she loved to play soccer.
How old is she?
She's now 11.
Okay.
So my son is now 14.
Okay.
My daughter is now 11. And my daughter, she loves soccer. And so for the past couple of years, I sign up as a soccer coach for her, like a little league, so I could make sure that I'm there watching and making sure she stays safe and helping out all the other like little kids. So I'm one of the soccer dads, and I love being outside and like running around. And sometimes the kids would look at me funny because I get stuck sometimes in my words, and they'd say, what's wrong? I said, hey, it's okay. Sometimes my words get stuck. That's all. All right. Who's got the ball? That's it. Gloss over it. Move on. And so with her, when she loves soccer so much, and then her friends started getting into cheer, she said, Daddy, I can't do cheer. Well, honey, do you want to do cheer? Do you like it? Said, yeah, but I don't know if I'm not, like, I don't know if I'm pretty enough. I can't do splits and this. I'm like, honey, you can do anything you want. And so guess what? This year, she's in her first cheer competition. She's going to nationals this year after only being in there for 6 months. And what an amazing transformation. I can see it. She's more confident. Her body is getting more fit. She stands up taller and straighter. Like I look at like the way she moves, she's more balanced and poised. I'm like, wow. And that's going to help her in soccer. So if she does both sports and continues, it's going to really help out. So I had to convince her not to restrict herself. So parents, do you see the pattern? Is that sometimes we see life through the lens of what our perceptions are. And truly, I think Viktor Frankl said it best, is that you have no control over what happens to you, but you have 100% control of your perception of what happened to you. And so that means that if you have trauma from childhood, if you have a restriction that changed the way that your life went on a tangent, that's okay. Or you can do what I did and say, you know what, 2017, about 6 years ago, my journey started because I was working in the lab, did a huge project. I got injured in both rotator cuffs. And after about 9 months of work, me and my partner had to present our data. I didn't get to present because obviously I'm the scientist that can't talk right. So she presents our work. Half the slides in that slide deck are mine. She leaves my name off the front slide and she delegated it to the last slide as in thanks to the team, the 20 people that are kind of tangentially involved. Well, she got a promotion from that and I didn't. So I forgive her and I moved on. I let go that trauma and that grief. But you know what? My perception of that is now, you know what? That was the universe's way of saying, you know what, Roger, you got to try harder and do something about it. So that's when I made the decision. I won't let that happen again. I decided to pivot and I joined Toastmasters and started speaker training. I started reading books. I started going to seminars, starting hiring coaches, and it has changed my life. Now I can talk about any topic, anytime, to any audience. I've spoken to 8,000 people on a live stage already. And I was bummed out it wasn't 10,000 because I want to speak to at least 10,000. And as a result of all this and facing my fear starting last year, I took my Victory Mindset Academy training weekly call I used to do for my clients, helping them with entrepreneurship and coaching and how to do a lead magnet and automations, how to use Canva, how to use messaging marketing. I turned that into an interview platform. And now, in 2 weeks, I'm going to hit 300 interviews in under 18 months. to face my fear of speaking. But now I've overcome that. And I think your child can do anything that they decide to do as long as you don't restrict them.
This is fantastic, Raja. What I'm hearing is that you and your kids were born as normal as we come. Your mm-hmm. son is on the autism spectrum. And your daughter, she had some lack of confidence. She's an 11-year-old girl. But you've been able to instill in them how to believe. Like, just yeah. if you want it, you believe in it. And so you're working with their mindset to the degree that they have become high-achieving kids. And in 2017, yeah. when you really made that difference in you, you became high-achieving in your area of fear. You had been a high-achieving already, but it didn't matter to you because you had fears. But then when your belief kicked in, your high-achieving faced your fears, and you were able to distill it down and hand it to your children in such a way that they can embrace it and become it. I mm-hmm. love it. And so your closing statement is believe it to become it.
Oh, believe it and become it.
Believe it and become it.
Yes.
That's a perfect place to end. Thank you for being here today.
Thank you, everyone.
Hey, parents. I hope you found this episode helpful. If so, would you please take 30 seconds and share it with a friend who also lives or works with children? I would really appreciate it if you would leave a quick review for the show on Apple Podcasts. I read every review, and it lights me up to know that this show is making a difference. Then come join my Facebook community, where you'll meet other parents who are dedicated to helping their children grow too. You'll find the link in the show notes. Thank you for joining me. Now it's time to go. Let's pop our kiddos in the strollers and go look around outdoors and see what we have to talk about.